All right.
Yeah.
So the past few weeks we've been discussing the four characteristics, the four ways in which the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu was distinct from the prophecy of all other prophets. So last week we spoke about the two of the aspects. We spoke about that which the Rambam says that all other prophets, all other Nevi'im had prophecy through the medium of an angel, and that all other prophets, when they experienced prophecy, they had a physical reaction to it. Their body would quiver and tremble, and they would be put in a state of fear and awe, and they had a physical reaction to their experience of prophecy. And so we discussed those two last week, and this week we're going to talk about the third one, or really the second one. We talked about the first and third last week. We're going to talk about the second one, which is that which all other prophets experienced their prophecy through a dream or a vision. We'll try and understand what that is. And Moshe Rabbeinu was, while he was he was awake and lucid and cognizant. And next week we'll do the last one, which is that Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy was at any time, as opposed to other prophets who had to, you know, prepare for prophecy, and then maybe they might get prophecy, they might not. And so last week we discussed the building off of the general theme we had discussed of the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu, that the Madrega, the level of his prophecy, or really the underlying element of his prophecy, was based on the complementary characteristics of Moshe Rabbeinu's Anava and Moshe Rabbeinu's Shlemus, and which really one of them led to the other, that which Moshe Rabbeinu saw himself, had completely removed himself from the picture, and therefore was a pure conduit for prophecy, and that in his personal perfection, where he had no personal netiyas, no personal interests, no personal draws of his own input that affected the way he saw the world. So we discussed last week how that manifests in not having Nevuah through an angel, and what the Rambam understood having Nevuah through an angel means. So it's very related. All four of these things are really very related. But so up to this one is also along the same lines. We're going to try and get the specific aspect of how this one fits in. So the Rambam in Perek Chelek writes, Ha'hevdel Hasheni, the second distinction, Shekol Navi lo yavo ehu hachazon, Ella Bizman Hashena, that every prophet will not get his prophetic vision except for when he's asleep. Kamosha Amar Bekama Makomos Bechalom Halayla, like it says in many places in Chumash or in Tanakh, that it was a dream at night. Vayachalom Bechalom Chazayun Layla. Vaharbe mina inyun hazeh. A lot of examples of this idea. O bayom, or it could be during the day. Achar tardema nofelas al hanavi. After a trance fell over the prophet, he would fall into some kind of trance. Umatzav shabo shovsim kol chusha of umisrokenes machshavaso kein shena. A point at which all of his senses were put to rest, and his thoughts were cleared, like very similar to sleep. Right, we find that like by Avram Avinu, right, v'nafal alav tardema, by Brisbane of Asarim, that Avram Avinu fell into a sort of trance. Umatzav ze nikra machaze umare. This is or mara rather. This situation is called a vision and a. We'll talk exactly about what Mar'a means, but for now we'll just translate it simply as also, you know, a view. Va'alavu omer b'mar'os Elokim. U'moshe balo adibor bayom. Moshe would experience Hashem's speech during the day, and he was standing between the two kruvim, the cherubs, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, or in the Ohel Moed.
Standing between them?
Yes. I mean, he's literally between them, because, you know, that would mean he was like on top of the Aron. But I mean, Amar. And now, this, by the way, just as an aside, we've mentioned before that the Rambam has things in the Ikrim which are part of, just as long as he's describing it to you, he'll give you the full picture, but there are details which are not themselves part of the Ikr. There are details which are not critical pieces of information, but as long as he's giving you the whole, the, as long as he's describing to you the ikkar, he'll give you the whole picture. So this is probably the best example of such a thing, because it cannot be that Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy, that part of a defining feature of it is that it was Bein Akruvim. How do I know? Because most of the psukim, based on which the Rambam derives the level of the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu, was before there was such a thing as Kruvim. So obviously, when the Rambam is telling you that it was Bein Akruvim, he's not telling you something that was essential to his prophecy. It might be indicative of the level of his prophecy, that after there were Kruvim, it was, you know, the most central point of Hashem's connection with the world, that that's where Moshe Rabbeinu received his prophecy. But that is not what an essential element of what defined his prophecy, because otherwise you couldn't prove the nature of his prophecy from all kinds of things that were true before there ever was. When Moshe Rabbeinu received the command to build Kruvim, it was not from between the Kruvim, right? So the level of Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy, that's, but once the Rambam is telling you the whole picture, once Rambam is telling you about the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu, so he will tell you the whole picture, and there will be things that are thrown in which are part of understanding, you know, getting the accurate picture, which aren't things that are so critical that if you weren't aware of this, you would now miss the boat and you would be a heretic, but they're still true, and they're still related conceptually to what he's discussing. But in any case, it's an aside. Amar Yis'ala im yia neviyachem hashara elaberbo. Lo kein abdi Moshe. This is from Parsha 2 Shabbases ago, that he says, if there will be, if, so exactly how to read this pasuk is a very interesting pasuk. The trap on this pasuk, there's a revi'i on the word Hashem, and which is, a revi'i is a mafsik, which means it's a pause, it's like at least as much of a comma. So exactly, we'll see, I have at the end of this sheet, I wasn't planning on talking about it, this particular point, but we've got the Malbim. I think the Malbim is sensitive to this punctuation in the pasuk and the way he reads the pasuk, and maybe if we have time at the end, we'll just point out that point. But in any case, that says that if that anyone else has a nevuah, b'mar elav esvada b'chalom edaber bo, that I will appear to him in a mara, and I will be known to him through a mara, and I will speak to him through a chalom, through a dream. Lo kein avdi Moshe, but not so my servant Moshe. Pal pa'daber bo, I speak to him face to face. The Rambam describes that that all other Nevi'im have their Nevuah through some kind of vision, a dream, or a trance, and not so Moshe. Now, I just want to call attention to, we're going to see this made more clear in the next source, but the Rambam says when he describes the both the dream and the vision, so, or particular when he describes the dream, the vision, the dream, he says, v'zman ha'shena, that's the time of sleep, and the vision, he says, the yom matzav shabo shov sim kol chushav, a state in which all of his senses are put at rest, all of his senses are dormant. So the one aspect I want to just pick up on it to focus on for a minute is that aspect of a dream, that it's the cessation of the physical senses. So the Ramchal in the third chelek of Derech Hashem, in Parak Hay of the third chelek of Derech Hashem, describes, goes through his own slight kind of short version of the Nevuah, the special state status of the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. So we're just going to skip through all the underlined parts. So says the Ramchal, Klal kol Nevi'im chutz mi Moshe. The general rule with all of the prophets, with the exception of Moshe, was Nevuasam al yedei mara v'chalom. Their Nevuah was through a mara, a seeing, and a chalom, and a dream. Ukamosha kasuv b'mara elav esvada b'chalom edaber bo. V'hainu, meaning Shakarish Baruch Hu Meshamish Mina Chalom Achakuk Kvar B'Tivam Shel B'nei Adam. Hakadosh Baruch Hu uses a dream, something which is already ingrained in their human nature. Liyos Lahem Lam Tsai, that it be an intermediary, Lahamshik Al Yado Hanavua Lanavi, that through it can draw forth the nevuah, the prophetic message to the prophet. Vehine behiskaber shefa nevuah ala navi yetsay mehargo shosa bechushav. When the prophetic influence, energy would come upon the prophet, he leaves, he departs from his senses and his feelings, Veishtaka kamovashena, and he sinks into a situation which is like sleep. Vitishar machshavto kemachshavas hayashin, and his mind remains like that of a someone sleeping, vecholim, or a dreamer. Va'az timashech lo hanavua, and then he can the prophetic message can come to him. Va'amnam efshar sheyagia davar azeh el hanavi be'es yikitz. Also, it's possible to happen while he is awake, technically awake, al derech shezacharnu. The Efsher Shebashachmo al Mitaso Bakalam Alaila can either be while he's lying asleep that he has an actual dream, or it can be while he's awake, he has this state of a dulling of his physical senses as if he were asleep, as if he were sleeping. Timashik Lonavua. Amnam al Kolpanim, but in any event, Lo Tagi Ehu Anavua El Achar Heyoso Chutz Michushav. He can or reach Navua after he has departed from his physical senses, umeshuka b'osu hatardema, and he is sunk in to that trance. The Ramchal emphasizes, we'll see contrast with how he describes by Moshe Rabbeinu, but the point that he describes very emphatically, that the main point here is a state of departure from the physical senses, that they had to leave their physical senses in order to get Nevuah.
And Rabbi, is that to remove some of the, I think we talked about filters last time?
Right, so it's very related to what we talked about, and we'll get to that in a minute. So these things are very interrelated, so what we're going to talk about is very related to what we spoke about last week, but to try and get the specific angle that we're trying to get for this week's topic. One more sentence from the Ramchal. Ach, nevuaso shel Moshe Rabbeinu alav shalom, he bederech yoser elyon mikol zeh. The nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu was on a higher level than all of this. Vehu larishona, first of all, now the Ramchal has a second of all, which we're not going to get to this week. Shelo hayat tzarech latzeis mechusha v'hargashosav v'lo lachalom klal. He did not need to leave his senses and his physical feelings. He didn't need a dream. Ela haisa nevuah magaslo odo b'matzavo hatmidi. Nevuah reached him. He achieved nevuah, and in his normal state of being in full control of his physical capacities, his physical senses. So the first, and now that we'll see that this is really the state of nevuah is that the further you get from your the further you need to get from your physical senses in order to get nevuah, the lower your level of nevuah is. This is the next source that we have, is the Rambam in Mor Nevochim in Chelek Sheni, the second Chelek, second section, chapter 45. The Rambam goes through what he describes as 11 levels of nevuah. Now the first two, the really nevuah, called Ruach HaKodesh, some kind of divine inspiration, those don't quite qualify as nevuah. And then there are 9 stages after that, which are levels of prophecy. And the Rambam goes through them. And then above those 11 is the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu, which the Rambam has already said in chapter 35 that he's not going to discuss in connection with other nevuah because it's qualitatively different. But the Rambam, we're not going to go through all 11 of them, but just to show a pattern here, the Rambam has basically two lists, or two halves of this list. It's one progression that happens twice. You'll see what I mean. Starting from where it's underlined here, starting from level 3, is that the person has a dream in which he sees a mashal, an analogy. Some image comes to him which is meant to hint to him at something else, and either it comes with an explanation or doesn't. But in a dream, he's shown a mashal. Then the next one is he hears words in a dream. It's not clear who's saying them. The next one is that a man speaks to him in a dream. And then the next one is that an angel speaks to him in a dream. And then the next one is that he sees, as it were, as if Hashem himself is speaking to him in a dream. So you have basically a mashal, and then disembodied voice, and then man, and then angel, and then Hashem himself, all within a dream. That's the first series. Then the Rambam moves in the second series, which is Shayavolo Chazon B'mar Nuvo V'yir Meshalim. Now he has a chazon, he has a vision, which means while he's awake, he goes into a trance and has a vision in which he sees he has a mashal, he gets some kind of analogous message, and then he hears words in a dream, in a vision, and then he has a man speaking with him in a mara, and then he sees an angel in a mara, and then the Rambam says, there is no Rambam said, Baruch himself in a mara, that the Rambam says is not possible. That is already getting into something similar to the Nebuah of Moshe Rabbeinu, but in any case, but there are two basic tracks here. They both follow the same hierarchy of basically mashal, and then just a voice, and then a man speaking to you, and then an angel speaking to you, and then within the dream sequence, there's then a Kadosh Baruch Hu speaking to you. But those are two. The first level is basically all within a dream. That's one level. And within a dream, there's a certain progression of getting higher and higher levels of prophecy within a dream. And then you go to a whole new level, which is Amara. Amara is already the next level up and go through the same progression within Amara. But the Mara is a qualitatively higher level of Nebuah. I shouldn't say qualitative, it's a quantitatively higher level of Nebuah. It's moving up in the levels of Nebuah because it's already one step closer to being awake. Now you still, even though you're not actually sleeping, there still is necessary to go into a trance. There's no Navi other than Moshe Rabbeinu who could not need any sense of departure from his physical senses, but on the two levels, the level at which you needed to be asleep was one level of Nevuah, was the lower level, still Nevuah, but the lower level, and the level at which you could be awake and get a message, still in a trance, but at least you were awake, that was already a higher level of Nevuah. So this is the by all other Nevi'im, the level of their Nevuah was such that they needed a cessation, they needed a departure from their physical senses, and the degree to which that departure was necessary was actually symptomatic of the lowliness. The more you departed from your physical senses, the lower level your Nevuah was. Why? I think the further you are from your physical senses, it would be a higher level of Nevuah. Because exactly what David was hinting to that we discussed last week, because by the other prophets, they needed a cessation of the physical because the physical was an obstacle for them. Because their physicality was something which was an interruption between them and Hashem, therefore they needed to depart from their physical existence. And the degree to which a Navi needed to do that was a display of the degree to which his physical was a barrier to him. The less that the Navi needed to depart from, to put his physical to rest, that showed that he was that much closer to being able to overcome the physical. But no one actually reached a level, except for Moshe Rabbeinu, where the physical was no longer a barrier. This is now, just to segue into the next point, we're going to have a question from Corey. It's going to beautifully segue into the next point.
Is it?
No, I have no idea. I don't know what you're going to ask. I tried to keep it on the low that I have clairvoyance.
There are angelic men and manly angels, so I don't get the difference because it seems in Chumash and Tanakh that they are synonymous.
I don't know what you mean.
Ish, when they say Ish, someone was visited by an Ish, it's usually the Mefarshim say it's an angel. And Manoach and his wife, when the Shimshon, before Shimshon was born, they thought it was a man. And then he flew up in the fire and they go, oh, it's an angel.
Yeah.
So I don't get the two levels because man and Mala seem to be the same thing.
So what you are discussing is part of a major machlokas rishonim, which we touched on last week. But are the things that you're describing, are they nevuah?
Maybe, yeah. He said you're going to have a son, and he's going to be another.
Yes, they are. They're part of the Nebuah seeing this being.
So,
is that what you're asking?
So the Ramban held very strongly that that is not part of the Nevuah. An angel as it comes from a message from God has to specifically be Nevuah. A baskol is a baskol Nevuah?
Yeah.
No. No, a baskol is not Nevuah. A baskol is even lower than the two bottom levels of what the Rambam describes as Ruach HaKodesh. But there is such a thing as information coming from the Rambam himself held that Nevuah does come through an angel, and his proof, actually his paradigm example of that is what one of the things you're describing, I think, which is when Avraham was visited by the angels who gave him a message, as the Rambam says is Nevuah. So now the question is, I guess we can discuss the question on two levels. Did Avraham know they were angels? Meaning, even though the Torah might describe them as people because they took the form of men in order to appear whatever it was, but did Avraham know that they were angels? And whether or not he knew they were angels or not, that's, I guess, will just determine what the level of prophecy was. But at the end of the day, there are two different things. You have a Nevuah from in Yechezkel. Yechezkel had, an angel appear to him and tell him Nevuah, as opposed to you have Nevuahs where, who was it? I don't remember. I'm keeping track of who's who in the Nevi'im, but you had Nevi'im who...
Yosef runs into a man on his way to meet his brothers. Right. Who directs them, and the Mepharshim say that's an angel.
Yeah, so certainly the Torah might describe an angel as a man, but they're still two different things. There is such a thing as seeing a human and seeing an angel. There are certain Nevi'im who actually saw, an angel who delivered their Nevuah to them. That's the Nevuah with the Kohen Gadol with the filthy clothing. That was a Nevuah that came. Yeah. There he actually heard Hashem speak, so to speak. But there was an angel. He had the Nevuah through an angel. Distinct level.
Doesn't make any sense or not? But maybe a way to kind of frame this is in terms of what defines whether something is a Nevuah in the first place is what exactly is being said. Is a Nevuah just some sort of prediction in the future, or is it to try to get us to change our ways or improve ourselves or whatnot? So, say for the example of the angels telling Abraham that Sarah's going to have, have a child, that's more like a prediction in the future. And if the Nevuah is really more to try to, get people back on the derech, so to speak, that's maybe not necessarily a Nevuah. Where I'm going with that?
Yeah, I don't know if the Rambam himself, if that will fit so smoothly into the Rambam itself. It could be there is truth to that there is such things as just information, where it's not necessarily a Nevuah. But we saw when we discussed in the sixth principle, the way the Rambam describes what Nevuah is all about, we saw the Ramchal said this explicitly, but the Rambam is fairly indicative of this, is that the main point of Nevuah is not the information that comes. The main point of Nevuah was the dveikus, the attachment to Hashem, and the experience of experiencing spiritual connection to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and an outgrowth of that, an outcome of that, a result was the information which might come with it. But that the ikar of Nevuah, the primary point of Nevuah, was actually the connection to Hashem, the experience, the actual
for the Navi,
experience of connecting to a Kadosh Baruch Hu.
For the Navi.
But so the in the level at which the clarity of his Nevuah came, what he was being shown, what revelation he was being shown, so that's what the Rambam is splitting up into these different levels. But all of those different levels, or really not all of those different levels, but the main distinction between those two different levels, and the main distinction why all Nevi'im had that is because the physical was a barrier that they had to deal with, or at least to as far as they could. The Nefesh HaChaim writes, Shar Gimel Perek Yud Daled, so we actually saw the piece right before this in a previous class, but he writes, so this is now getting back to, as opposed to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu's Madrego was that he experienced Nevuah while he was alive. The Nefesh, not while he was alive, all of them were alive, while he was awake. The Hu Gam Kein Inyan Ma'amar Masov Perkisu Adam, Gadol Shenemar B'Moshe V'Aaron, Yoser Mimash Shenemar B'Avraham. that's it's greater what was said about Moshe and Aaron, and now the Nevi'im Shekhinah himself is going to point out that Aharon is actually added in parenthetically. It's not really meant to be about Aaron, but because contextually in the source of this, Aaron is part of the discussion, they include Aaron, but really the main point is Moshe. It was greater than what it says about Avram Avinu. The Elab Avram Ksiv, by Avram, Avram Avinu says, Anochi Afar Ve'ether. I am dust and ashes. Ve'ilu b'Moshe v'Aaron k'siv v'anachnu ma. What are we? We are nothing. Ki afar ve'efer, dirt and ashes, despite being very low, al kopanim misra'e adayin l'metziyuz afar. It still is something that exists. It might be a very lowly existence, but it's still extant. It still is. Aval Moshe Rabbeinu Olav HaShalom Amar V'nachnu Ma. But Moshe Rabbeinu said, what are we? Ki'ilu ein shum metzius ba'olam klal gamrei. As if he doesn't exist, as if nothing exists. There is, what am I? Is there something to me that you should be complaining against us? There's nothing to me. Moshe Rabbeinu, the level of his relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to the world was, we've discussed previously, that Moshe Rabbeinu was so completely mevatel himself, was so completely nullified himself to the point where he recognized, the Nefesh HaChaim says at the very beginning of Shaar Gimel, that Ein od milvado kipshuto, that there is nothing other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence. That my existence, there's nothing, there's really no me here. Everything is just HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'zesha amar b'shmos rabba parsha yud aleph, Yitzhak amar l'moshe, ani gadol mimcha, shepashatati tzavarai, v'ra'isi es p'nei ashlina. Says, Yitzhak to Moshe Rabbeinu, I am greater than you, because I stretched out my neck to be shechted by the Akedah, and I saw the Shechina. Amar lo Moshe, Moshe said to him, ani nis alesi yoser mimcha, I rose up to higher than you. Sha'ata ra'isa p'nei ashlina, v'kawe necha. Because you saw the Shekhinah and your eyes were dulled or blinded. And that's why Yitzhak became blind, because he saw the Shekhinah at the time, because Shemayim opened at the time of the Akedah, and he saw the Shekhinah and he was blinded by that. Aval ani hayisi medaber im Shekhinah panim bepanim velo ka'o enai. But I spoke to the Shekhinah face to face and my eyes did not dim. Umavar Lamevin, he says the idea here is clear to one who understands. The idea is that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to see the mirage of his own existence, and that was something that he understood. That was something that he could live with. Everyone else lives within the existence, within the bounds of existence. Everyone else lives within the framework of there's a reality to my existence, and we're meant to. That's a Kadosh Baruch Hu by giving us mitzvos. We've discussed this before, but the context of Avodas Hashem is that a person is supposed to see themselves as being autonomous. If you imagine yourself as not existing, then there's really no point in doing a mitzvah, because you know it's all pretend anyways. The underlying assumption of having a Torah and having mitzvos is this fact, but at the same time, there's an intellectual awareness that at the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only real existence, and we only exist because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to exist for now. We didn't have to exist, and that for us is that's intellectually, but to be shown that so explicitly, that's not something we can really deal with. But Moshe Rabbeinu was ra'u be'enav, he saw with his eyes, that he had more than an intellectual awareness of this fact, he had an emotional, he lived with this knowledge. That was something that was real to him. It wasn't just something that he knew must be true. It was something that he had, it was an emotional reality to him. That was the reality of the world as far as he was concerned. We mentioned before, a few weeks ago, the Kedushas Levi that says that when Moshe went up to Har Sinai to get the Torah, and Hashem tells him, go back down and tell the people that they can't come up. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, I already told them, lo yuchal ha'am la'alos el ha'har ki'ata ha'idosabam. Right, that the people can't come up because you already told them not to. So the Kedushas Levi says, Moshe Rabbeinu was not just using an expression. He literally meant they cannot, they are physically unable to come up because you told them not to. And Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, you're looking from your perspective. You, Moshe Rabbeinu, if I say so, if Ratzon Hashem, that's all that really exists. So if Ratzon Hashem is no, then you're physically unable to do it. That if that's what defines existence. But them, they're not on the level where Ratzon Hashem makes an iron wall. Their reality, they might intellectually have, but that doesn't form their perception of reality. But you, Moshe Rabbeinu, your perception of reality is Ratzon Hashem. And therefore Hashem told him, Raid, you have to go down. Not just you have to go down physically from the mountain, but you have to go down to their level and understand that for them, it's not a reality, and therefore you have to tell them again. But that was the Madrega of Moshe Rabbeinu, was that he related to the, there was no physical existence of his own to get in the way. So now this gets to the crux of, really ties back into what we spoke about last week, the vision, having a mashal, having an analogy, or having seeing things in this world, which are the medium for having prophecy. The Malbim, everybody noticed I was very careful every time we read the pasuk to say bimar'ah, right? Bimar'ah. Bimar'ah. What? Halav, right? Okay, I'm not going to find the puzzle right now. But, right, Bachal, all right, Bimar Halav Esvada, Bachalam and Daberbo. So the word Mar'ah is, as opposed to Mar'eh, right? The word Mar'ah with a kamatz, as opposed to bimar'eh, with a segel, when it says that by all the other prophets, bimar'ah esvada elav, I will be known to him through a mar'ah, as opposed to lokin avdi Moshe, pal padaberbo, mar'eh, right, when he speaks to Moshe, about what Moshe has a mar'eh. So a mar'ah, says the Malbim, the distinction between those two words really captures the difference between the Moshe Rabbeinu and the other Nevi'im. Mar'ah and mar'eh. What is a mar'ah or a mar'eh? Bazeh gila lehem ahevdel bein aspaklaria hama'ira v'aspaklaria she'ina ma'ira. With this, Hashem was communicating to Miriam and Aaron the difference between Moshe Rabbeinu's vision of a nevuah through aspaklaria hama'ira, through a clear lens, and the other Nevi'im who saw through an unclear lens. Harambam Pirish, who's a chukas shemabit derechbo, an aspaklaria, the Rambam says, is a glass that you look through. It's basically a telescope kind of thing. You look through it and you see what's on the other side. Umar'ah bekamatz hu spiegel, right? And Corey, as a resident Yiddish expert, tell us that a spiegel, right?
It's a small dog with...
Right, that's a beagle. Small dog? No, that's a beagle. A spiegel is a mirror. The other Nevi'im was with a mirror. Shehu mechusa batiach v'oferes mitzad echad. It's covered with some kind of plaster and lead or something like that from one side. Anshelo tavor haraos liros davar omen me'achorav. You cannot see what is on the other side of it. Rak mara hatsura ha'omeres nochucho. You can only see what is facing the mirror. When you look at a mirror, you do not see the image which is on the other side of the mirror. You see the image which is on the same side of the mirror. I'm going to find my place now. Right. Umara besegel hun hazachuchis. The mar'eh, that is when you're looking through glass. Shaharaos overbo liros masha omin achorav mitzada acher. That when you're looking through it, your vision passes and you see to the other side. Vizeh aspaklari hama'ira. That was the aspaklari hama'ira of Moshe Rabbeinu's vision. Vehine haroa b'shpigol lo yucha liros atzura homenes mitzada acher achorei hamare. Somebody who's looking at something in a mirror cannot see that which is on the other side. You don't get to see what is beyond the barrier of the mirror. Rakatsura omedes mitzad shehu omedba. You see the images that are on the same side as you. Shehu lifnei hamara, which is before the, not on the past the mirror, but on the same side of it. Vizem melitza al re'iyas v'hasagas anavim shloi sigu es halokus ha'omin chutz migvola olamos. This is the expression and describes the vision, the grasp that all other Nevi'im had, that they did not grasp godliness, which stands beyond the borders of this world, the limitations of our existence. Rak es Elokus hanimta itam betzad shehim omdim. They saw godliness as expressed in the side on which they are. They are beyond the impenetrable barrier between the finite and the infinite, within the finite, see God as expressed in the finite world. Shehu alokos hamispashetas bolamos lios nefesh olamos. That's the way in which God runs the world, interacts with the world in within this world. That's the way that so to speak, but not such a good word for in English, but the spreading, so to speak, of God, the emanation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu into this world. So that's the first point. Second, Shatsura Niris Bimara, something which is seen through a mirror. Ein Atsura Atzma, Haomedes Nogach Amara. You are not seeing the actual image which is on the other, which is being seen. Rak temuna shel atzura hamisbaleshes min atzura al pnei amara. You are just seeing an image of that form which is being reflected onto the mirror, right? If you look at a mirror, what you are seeing in the mirror is the picture of that person as it appears in the mirror, but the person's not over there. The person's over there. You're looking at an image which is formed on the mirror, which is not the person themselves or the object themselves. Kein lo yasigu es alokus kemoshi v'atma. So too, the Nevi'im, they do not grasp God as he exists in his essence, so to speak. Rak masha hispalish min ha-tsagas ha-elokus al-koach dimyonam shehu amara sha'alav yisrashma tsuros and yirs b'dimyon anavi sheyabit al-koach dimyono sha'alav yitzuri lo tsuros asher yachza b'mechza. That's the way it was, the level that it was with all the other Nevi'im, that they see the image as it is reflected onto their own perception, their own physical tools for interpreting the world. If you're seeing the world, you're seeing God within this world. So you are seeing on, so to speak, you're seeing on the physical side of the barrier. You're on the this worldly side of the barrier. So you're seeing it as it is transmitted into this worldly, into created physical terms. And the image, physical terms. And therefore they had a mara, they had a chalom. They used the tools that were ingrained into their physical existence to interpret the prophecy. That was the necessary means. It was the only way in which they could relate to the prophecy, because they were seeing this worldly reflection, this worldly emanation of that spiritual reality. And therefore,
maybe a television screen if they have
here. That would be the analogy, right? So he says, and therefore, it would be Asher Yabid Al Koch Dimyono Shalav Yitzur Yol Tzuros Asher Yechze B'Machze Ve'Einam Nimtzaim Rak B'Mara Retzono Lomar B'Koch Dimyonam Lo Be'Emes. These are things that it's just like the vision, the object, the image that you see in the mirror isn't really there. That's just your mind translating you're seeing something there, but that's not the real thing itself. So too with
so too with
the Navi. It was created in their own mind. It was created in their own mind. The vision, the perception that they had was a translated. It wasn't what was really. It wasn't the real, actual state of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was a translation of that expression into this world, into their own physical terms, into their own means of understanding it, and therefore the physical senses were the only tools that they had through which to understand such a thing, and therefore they needed to use the physical, and therefore the fact that their physical was antithetical to spiritual, they had to, since they're trying to use their physical, and their physical is not perfected, they had to dull that to the extent possible, to the point that if you have to use an unrefined filter, going to try that filter has to the extent you can, and therefore when they experienced Nevuah, it had to be through a dulling of their physical senses, Because since the Nevuah, the only way they could relate to Nevuah was through their physical senses, and their physical senses would be an interference, would be a subversion, but a some kind of interruption between the pure spiritual message and what they how they were able to interpret it. So that had to be minimized to the extent possible, and therefore they had to leave their physical faculties, because their physical faculties, they were barriers. They couldn't get around them, but to the extent possible they had to minimize them, as opposed to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, as we discussed last week, the Rambam says that he had removed every barrier of the physical. That the physical was not the extent to which he had removed his own sense of autonomy, of independence, of being a separate entity from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. There was he was still physical. He still there's actually an interesting discussion in the Mefarshim. If after Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai, if he ate anything other than bread and water, meaning if he ate anything other than the bare minimum needed to maintain the physical. But Moshe Rabbeinu still was alive. He was still physical, but his physicality was no longer an interruption between him and Hashem. It was clear. It was a perfectly clear screen, and therefore the Nevuah could go through it without causing any problems. The Nevuah could go through that vision, could go through that filter without actually being filtered, because it was like you see something through a glass window. So you're seeing through the window, but assuming that you did a good job of washing it, right? But you're seeing through perfectly clear glass. There's still a barrier there, but that barrier doesn't change your perception of the reality of what you're seeing. And that's exactly what it is, that Moshe saw through an aspaklaria, he saw through this zechuchus. He saw through glass. That's what his physicality was. It was glass, and therefore there was no need to get it out of the way. It's not doing anything anyways. But the other Nevi'im, they saw through a mara, they saw through a mirror. They were seeing a reflection formed through their own perceptions, formed through their own personalities. Therefore, that had to be something which, to the extent possible, it had to be avoided. To the extent that you can minimize its impact, had to be minimized, and therefore it had to be shoveis, it had to be put to rest, it had to be negated in order to receive a true prophetic message. And even after that, that was the next point, the third thing that the Rambam describes, which we discussed last week, even after that, they still had a physical reaction, because at the end of the day, the prophetic message is still coming through the faculty of their physical existence, and their physical existence is not ready, is not capable of receiving a purely spiritual energy, and therefore there was a physical reaction. There was trembling, there was losing control, there was fear, there was awe that came through the experience of Nevuah, because there was their physicality was still part of the experience, and therefore there was a reaction to it. I have one more page. Let's see if we can get through this last point. I really said actually what he's going to say here. I forgot that I had the put this part down, but this is the as opposed to Moshe. Aval Moshe Rabbeinu Olav Shalom Ra'a Ba'as Beklaria Hamairia Shua Sechuches Shekoach HaRe'ia Over Bo El Ha'iver Hasheni. Moshe Rabbeinu saw through the glass through which you see to the other side. V'yir ha'davar omen mitzad acher shu chutz migvoa mabit. You are able to see that which is on the other side of the lens. V'ritzono lomar shehisig es alokus mufshat min olamus kamoshu batmuso. He grasped, he was able to envision the existence of spirit, the godly existence as it is. Ubazelo yirashemachzo dimyon, and therefore he did not see a vision, and he didn't have an imagination, something that he had to imagine and use his own ideas of picturing things. Ain so self kefishu baatmo lo yusag mimenu shum tzior. There is no image to put to it. Vishum dimyon. There is no image that can be captured. V'yasig rak hasaga madai sichlis, and therefore it's a purely intellectual, an experience of just receiving the divine information, not the divine connection, just the pure divine message, the divine connection. Without, there can't be an image, because if you're seeing God as expressed in this world, God expresses Himself in this world through all the things in this world. But if you're seeing Kadosh Baruch Hu as He exists, so to speak, outside of the world, beyond the existence of creation, So God, in his essence, so to speak, doesn't have any physical form. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu is seeing the real way things are. There's no picture to put to it. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu was able to grasp that, was seeing something not using his physical faculties. He's seeing something that doesn't have any physical way to express it. It's something that was purely that we can't really even understand what it is that he grasped. But that was the hasaga, that was the achievement of the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. I wanted to correct one small thing that I said last week. I'm still not sure about it, but we discussed the Rambam seems to kind of vacillate between when he describes Moshe Rabbeinu, he had no barriers left, he had one last barrier. When he describes in Shmona Prakim, he kind of at one point says that the last point was the fact that he was a Seichel Mechubur Beguf, that he was inside a body, existed in a body, and even though that was a perfectly clear barrier, there's still that barrier of being inside a body, which sounds like after he died, then that would be, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu would achieve the next level. And then at the other hand, the Rambam describes that he was the fact that he was a seichel nifrad. He was an independent seichel outside of Hashem. That was the last barrier. So it wasn't sure if the Rambam means to say that if he is a creation, that makes a difference. I saw the Or HaChaim says explicitly that the difference was the fact that he was alive. Said that after he died, that then it would be. You would achieve that last level. So that's not binding on what necessarily the Rambam meant, but the Or HaChaim says that explicitly, that it was the distinction was between still being alive versus after he dies is no longer connected to the physical, then he'll have that last level. I pointed out last week that there is a Medrash which reads the Pasuk, Ki lo yareni ha'adam v'chai, that the v'chai is not meant to be no man can see me and live, but lo yireni ha'adam v'chai. Adam and chai cannot see me. And who's the chai? The Medrash says is those who are chayim la'ad, the malachim, the angels. Even the angels cannot see me. The angels are not connected to a body. So the implication of the Medrash seems to be that it's not just Adam who can't see me, but even chai, even those who are purely spiritual, cannot see me. And therefore, even after you die, the fact that you're not connected to a body isn't going to end it, as long as you're still a creation. And the distinction between, I guess we would call it life and death by a person, is that whatever it means that the neshama is a chelak elokah mimal, it is more conceptually a part of God than an angel is, a person when they exist in this world. So now your neshama was put down here. But when you leave back, when you separate back from the guf, so then you go back to being chelak elokah mimal, and then there's no separation. Then you're, to whatever it means, you're not really a niver anymore. You experience being a part of God, as however you understand the paradox of experiencing not being independent. I don't know, but basically that was what we discussed last week. I just wanted to add that I saw the Or HaChaim says explicitly that it was the point was that he was alive, not the fact that he was a creation.